Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. And this is Carl from Incredibly Strange Films, Film and Stuff, and Deviant Legion. Nice to have you with us on this commentary watch for LGBTQ Pride Month. We're sorry we had to reschedule it because there was some technical difficulties. But, of course, with me today is my co-host and compatriot and sister-at-arms. That would be Miss Rachel. Hello, Miss Rachel.
Hello, Mr. Carl, and hello, everybody out there. I hope you guys are excited because this is a good one today.
Oh, absolutely.
Not a movie I expected
I remember
to do on Deviant Legion, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember seeing this in the theater and just being blown away by it. So we are going to get right to this because this is a longer film. I can tell you that we will go to overtime with this, a little over 2 hours. This is on HBO. If you have the ad-free,
no,
that's
Amazon
what we suggest.
Oh, yeah.
No. If you
yeah,
have the ad-free, we suggest that because we tried it with not ad-free and it didn't work. So we are on Amazon Prime for this. And if you're on Amazon Prime, you do have to rent it for $3.99. We apologize about that. So we are right at 000. I'm going to count down 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, then go, and that's when you start. All right? So we're going to start right now. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go. And
yeah,
there you go. You see the studio. It's the Warner Brothers and the Warner Sister. No, that's a whole different thing. Sorry about that.
Hey, I was
and it is DC
too.
Comics, sort of, kind of.
It is based on a graphic novel, by the way.
Yes. And we picked this for many reasons. One is the political social commentary that it makes, but also, of course, it's very, very much in the LGBTQ universe. So we'll get to that later. So, Rachel, did you know about Guy Fawkes before this movie?
Yes, I did, but I've probably mentioned before that my parents are both kind of historians, so yeah, I knew a lot about all this weird history and stuff.
Now, I didn't know any of this when I first came into the film.
This is Guy Fawkes was an actual historical character who did have a plot to blow up Parliament, but was eventually caught and hung. But Guy Fawkes Day is famously remembered, the 5th of November, because he was a rebel and an activist and really trying to speak out for his people.
And this is important. Ideas do not bleed. They do not feel pain. They do not feel love, but they endure. And that's what this movie is about. It's the idea of freedom and what it means. And that's for everybody. And this main title is so fucking cool.
Oh, absolutely. And he just has that look. He's like a perfect fucking bullfrog.
Yeah. Now, that's an actor by the name of Roger Allam. I haven't seen him in much more than this, but boy, is he good in this. Everybody in this film is excellent. Seriously.
Oh, absolutely.
And there's Natalie Portman. Still, I think, very much young.
Yes.
Of course, best known for Leon the Professional when she was 13 years old.
Well, and Star Wars and such, but
yeah. I had a friend of mine who just can't get into her because he always pictures her very young, and that he thinks she's creepy that way.
Yeah.
Patriotic nationalism.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Kind of scary. Sexuals, terrorists. Sound like anyone we know or know of in this country?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not personally.
Sounds like a few people in this country.
The interesting thing here is one of the real points of it is the TV and the dissemination of misinformation. Again, pretty prescient right now.
Yes.
Mm. Oh, God.
Oh, so creepy.
Yeah. And, of course, you know, they have, well, we'll wait until this happens.
Yeah, no spoilers.
Okay, they have power, so they can do what they want. Right? Okay, and here we have the...
Ugh. Just every time he speaks, it's so beautiful.
Yes.
Damn.
Yeah,
run
that's not
away,
gonna happen,
motherfucker.
Out.
Yeah.
Now, it's the language. We're coming up on a speech here that absolutely fucking blew me away. That's man who he is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, this is beautiful. Fucking beautiful. It's vengeance. Bougie suave verbiage. I still use that.
Yep.
EV.
Yeah. I like how he describes himself, a musician of sorts.
You know, the thing we have to talk about, Hugo Weaving, is he's in this mask the whole time. You never see his face. And all his acting is through posture, attitude, and stillness. And it is one of the greatest things I have ever seen. The closest I've come to is Carl Urban, who also did a role in a mask the whole way through in Dredd. But this is better.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
Not anymore.
Remember the 5th of November. Yeah, we're both saying that under our breath, didn't we? Look at that shot. It's so gorgeous. And that's miniatures they're using. Okay?
I know.
And
it's
still
insanity.
Gorgeous. And the 1812 overture, this is perfect. I actually saw the 1812 overture at Point Park in Pittsburgh with the cannons.
I love how he's laughing. He's just fucking insane.
And there's the bee.
And the circle.
Now,
that's his call sign.
God, it hurt. And probably his most villainous role ever.
Oh, yeah.
Now he becomes an important part of this film too, because he's the partner of the person we're going to see next.
Just think how many meetings like this have gone on behind closed doors already.
Oh, absolutely. He's important. That is Stephen Ray. He's a great actor, and he's a major player in this film. And he's good.
Yeah.
He does the speech later. That's just fucking amazing. Now, most of these people you're seeing in this film are stage actors. They're not as well known by face for the American audience, and this has a lot of British actors, but really good people.
He is so scary. I mean, like, if he was a giant head talking to me in a room, I would be like the cowardly lion in Wizard of Oz. I'd drop the broom and take off running, man.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's just so, I mean, and you've got to think about how old this movie is and the fact that it was based on a graphic novel before that. And this movie's what, like 20 years old?
Yeah, this movie's about 20 years old. I think it's 18 now. I think it came out in 2004. Let's talk about the graphic novel for a second. Okay, it's by Alan Moore, who's very well known, but this was his reaction to Thatcherism in the 80s. Now, I didn't read the graphic novel after I saw this film, and to be honest, you could do a whole miniseries or a whole season. Oh, Stephen Fry.
So, yeah, it's really one of those films that, you know, we always talk about a film holding up to the test of time. Like, there's a lot of great films that are super, super dated. Like, we watched One Crazy Summer last week.
Right.
That one is very unashamedly completely stuck in the 80s, and there's not ever going to be any getting around that. But it's funny how this was, you know, a response to something that happened 30-something years ago. Yeah.
40 years ago.
You know, with Thatcherism. Yeah, 40 years ago, exactly. And then, you know, this movie was made based on that, and the themes that they're exploring are not at all new, but are incredibly fucking relevant right now.
And prescient, absolutely. And now she knows. And again, I need to stress that this is all about information. This is all about things that are told to you on the news, you know, that are controlled by someone that you don't get the whole picture.
Yeah, well, they do absolutely do that.
She's leaving now, but...
What is going on?
I better go with these people.
That's going to be fun.
So they find her, and they're looking for her. But what is the plan here that V has in mind? And you get to see a point, but you don't know why yet. And that is really what makes it interesting. When you really find out the world.
He's always a few steps ahead of everyone.
Yeah.
I mean, I swear to God, he's so far ahead. He's traveling back and, like, surpassing himself, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Ah, now let's see. Uh-oh.
Go ahead and play it.
Microdisc. God, I haven't seen one of those in years.
Again, the beauty of this is the language. By the way, what do you think of the wig? Is that a great wig or what?
Is it a wig or is that actually his hair? That's the question.
No, that's a wig.
Well, I think it's fantastic. It's so creepy and weird.
I think it's actually kind of really cool. I mean, this is one of the reasons why you see Guy Fawkes mask all the time now.
It's one of the reasons you see Anonymous doing this, is they're really taking that, like, that vigilante, you know, idea and doing what they can with it, and they're associating that with vigilantes by using the traditional Guy Fawkes mask.
But even though I want to make a point with this, okay, if we look at the anonymous and all this and the people that are using it, there's one way to use this mask correctly and one not to. We have an anti-hero here, but he's an anti-hero for a reason, and he wants justice, real justice, governmental justice.
Yeah.
Okay, which is different than certain parts of our country right now who stormed the Capitol, for example.
Yeah. So it's one of those movies that, like, you can just be wrapped up in the language of it.
Oh, oh yeah. And the way he's doing it is you can't see the person who's speaking to their face, but you're looking at the people who are being affected by those words. Okay, and that's important.
Yeah.
Because words can be very important and very affecting on people. Affecting, excuse me. And look at her eyes. She's caught up in this, and she doesn't realize how much she's caught up in it yet.
That's insane.
You know, there's creepiness here. It's not, this is certainly not a horror movie or anything like that, but they use some really good imagery in certain parts of this.
Oh, and there's some,
and I will,
like,
warn people, this is a violent film. This is a very violent film.
An incredibly violent film, yes. Well, it's incredibly violent, and it is. There's moments in this movie that are genuinely frightening.
Wearing the mask is on your knees, too.
It's not scary in a horror movie sense, but it's scary in the, you know, this could fucking happen. This is where our country is headed at this point.
Yeah.
His explosives on the switchboard.
Yep.
Yeah. No, his wig is way better than that.
Oh, this is great.
It was me. Surprise, motherfucker.
Why is he so strong? What, you know? Oh, this is rough. Oh, fuck.
The only thing that genuinely bothers me in this movie is how sickly thin she is.
Yeah.
It's, like, scary. He punched a bit.
Yeah.
Well, then he got punched, but yeah.
So now you get to see how the news in this particular instance is being used to edit and that and just show people what they want to show them, right?
kid's pissed.
Okay, so we have Stephen Ray on the right. I want to talk a little bit about the other actor who gets sort of lost in this. Okay?
Yeah.
And let me get to him here in a second. I'm over on IMDb right at the moment. And that would be Rupert Graves. And Rupert Graves has been in a lot of films, man. Give you an idea. He was in the miniseries of War of the Worlds, Silencio. He was Lestrade in the Sherlock TV series with Benedict Cumberbatch.
He does a lot of TV.
Absolutely. He was in Garrow's Law for a couple of years. I've seen a couple episodes of that. That's very good. And just really a good, solid actor. Death at a Funeral. It was Robert in Death at a Funeral. He was in the Forsyte Saga. A really good actor, but not as well known. But damn.
And you get a feeling that this is all contraband, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they don't explicitly state that everything in the apartment is, but it's like you kind of fucking know.
Okay, by the way, I want that jukebox. I fucking want that jukebox.
I want a lot of shit in that place.
Yeah, no shit. How about waking up with all those books?
I mean, that is what it's like in my house.
Oh, well, it's a goddamn. I merely reclaimed him.
He's a good guy. He doesn't steal.
Mm-hmm.
It really hasn't hit her yet. Like,
no, not at all.
Even what's going on or that she's a part of it.
Hmm. High probability kill you.
Yeah, and she knows this to be true. Like, you can see her sitting there taking all of that in account. Like, she's not even denying it. No, that is absolutely what will fucking happen. So, I mean, in a not-so-distant future.
She's she's lost her job. She's lost everything that she thought she had. Okay?
Yeah.
And you can understand that reaction. Now we need his. What is his story? That's the question. Okay, I'm letting you take this. Go for it.
Ooh, Egg in a Hole.
Egg in a Hole. Go for Egg in a Hole. Tell us about Egg in a Hole.
Oh, God. Like, simply one of, you know, a favorite in this family. We will eat Egg in a Hole any time of day or night. Part is you fry it in butter, and you take the little diskette that you punch out of your bread, and you fry that in the butter. And, oh, good Lord. Really good if you put a little thin slice of Havarti on top, sprinkle some dill on it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now I want Egg in a Hole.
Now you'll notice that you see his hands are burned. That's important to people.
Yeah, well, he's wearing gloves now, so she didn't see that.
Yeah, but she did see the burnt hands, so I wanted to make that point. She is thin. God damn.
Beautiful.
The Black Rain.
Yeah.
A that's the other thing is the throwbacks to Shakespeare and to all this wonderful language and poems that you hear in this. You know, the person who wrote this, Alan Moore, has a great respect for language. And
oh,
I can think of one other person that we know that has that respect for language, actually two, but in different ways. One, of course, would be Joe Lansdale, but the other one that I'm really thinking of is the gentleman who wrote Pontypool, which is Tony Burgess.
Oh, yeah.
Government should be afraid of their people. Absolutely. Okay, so now we're back to Roger Allam.
And that crazy medicine cabinet he's got.
Yeah, seriously. I'm sorry, Roger, but you don't have a body to show off your physique. Please.
No. Wow.
Yeah, asshole.
Yeah, like supreme douche nozzle.
Uh-oh.
Oh, dear.
Guys lose, and as always, England prevails. Not exactly. Ooh, great shot.
Mm-hmm.
Reunion.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. Okay, so you saw someone come out of the fire. That must be V, but why? And what is this all about?
Right.
What situation? Okay, the rose is very important.
Yep. And that motherfucking day on. Very Errol Flynn there.
Oh, absolutely. And of course, there's Errol Flynn.
Yeah, well.
And now we get into the Scarlet Pimpernel. You know, this story is very much like this story. Somebody who is wrong.
You mean the Scarlet Pumpernickel?
What? Yeah.
I said, don't you mean
no. That's Daffy Duck.
Hey, that's where I learned all my historical stories.
Count of Monte Cristo. Sorry, I was wrong. So I can't deliver. Voice of London.
Oh.
And you did about her.
Oh, shit.
Yep.
I bet he's got to tell.
And she's not stupid either. She figures it out. Okay, now this begins the story. What really happened?
Yeah. You only think it's fucked up now.
Okay, we're going to talk a little bit about Stephen Ray here. Stephen Ray has been in several films, and you would know him from a number of things. One of the ones that I really like him in is Breakfast in Pluto. But he was in The Crying Game. That was his big breakout. Okay, that was a big breakout if we go to 1992. But just to give you an idea, man's a busy man, too. He was in Interview with the Vampire. Michael Collins, Trojan Eddie, The Butcher Boy, In Dreams. Fear.com, Breakfast on Pluto, which I mentioned, Beat for Vendetta, The Reaping. I like him in that. I like that movie. Nobody else seemed to. But such a great actor. Lately, he's been doing a lot of British TV. That's why you haven't seen him here over in the States. And he's got a TV series, The English, coming up here soon. It's in post-production.
Well, this is her backstory.
Right. Okay, you get to see this.
Oh.
This is scary shit.
Oh, damn it. And it's such a surprisingly hushed movie, too.
Yes. Well, you know, this is a movie that's depending on the words and the ideas. Yes, there's action.
Yeah.
Okay? But the action is because of the words and the ideas. It's not the reason d'etre. Right?
Yeah.
I love this. The most reliable records are tax records.
Mhm. Oh dear. They're going down a rabbit hole and just hitting dead end after dead end.
I love this. Beneversum vivis vici. While women have conquered the universe.
Oh, dear.
Okay, so you made a comment earlier where V is a couple steps ahead of everybody. Keep that in mind with what is going to happen here over the course of the movie.
Oh, yeah.
These are all people that benefited from that pharmaceutical company. And why did they benefit? What did they know? Oh, and this is a slap at both the Catholic and the Church of England. And
I actually think
this is Church of England. This is my last little joy.
Creepy fucking bastard.
Oh, yeah. And here they're using her to be childlike, which is creepy too, right?
Yeah.
Now, all this action is very much Errol Flynn. I love the confession. Oh, God. That just creeps me the fuck out. Remember, I'm a church organist. And I have seen some. I haven't seen this, but I've seen some stuff in my time.
Yeah.
He's trying to warn him at this point, and he doesn't believe it.
Fucking creep.
Bitch.
Oh, shit.
Tonight, Bishop. Not tonight.
Yup.
Rose.
Did it again.
Creedy. Of all the people in this movie, I think he's the scariest.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that.
The security of information is paramount.
Somebody's making threats.
Yeah. Irish, wasn't she? Okay, so this is important. Now, Stephen Fry started his career in British television. television. This comedian with Hugh Laurie, and they were quite a pair.
Yeah.
But Stephen Fry has gotten into acting, and though he does, he's very much in the mold here of Benny Hill, which you'll see. And if those of you who don't know Benny Hill, all you have to do is watch this little scene and you'll understand what Benny Hill did. But he, this particular role is very important. And we're doing this for LGBTQ Pride Month. And of course, Stephen Fry is a proud member of the community. But he's showing things that he has that are banned by the government.
Yeah.
And that's a copy of the Quran. I mean, it's just beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now you get to see. And you, yep.
He's like, you're my fucking beard, dude.
Yep. Not as sorry as I am. There were a lot of Hollywood actors that were bearded. And we're talking about some major, major people. Marlon Brando was one with Wally Cox. Sinead Cusack. Let's talk about her for a second. Because I love her, and I love this scene, these next two scenes. She's a great actress.
Yeah. What have I seen her in?
I'll tell you in a moment. Scarlett Carson.
She said roses are believed to be extinct.
Yeah. So, again, you're talking about an English actress who does a lot of TV. Okay, so there's a lot of stuff that. But she was in Stonehurst Asylum, Queen and Country. She was in the Eastern Promises. Okay. Probably the best known. V for Vendetta, of course. She was in Bad Behavior back in the 90s. And I'm just giving you last remake of Beau Jest. In 1977, that's the one with Marty Feldman. Of course, for people like me, In as a Frightened People in 1971.
Yeah.
But the movie I know her from is a great Peter Sellers film. One of her first films called Hoffman, where she is kidnapped by Peter Sellers and made to stay in his apartment. And it's fantastic. And her first film was Alfred the Great in 1969. So she's been around quite a bit. This is beautiful. This is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I came for what you did.
Oh, are no coincidences. Only the illusion of coincidences.
minutes ago. This is important. Never. And he's, and her, he is the most kind to. And I love that.
Yeah.
So now
he,
you
gives
know
her
there
the
was
opportunity. Yeah, he gives her the opportunity to die with grace.
Yes.
Notice that she seems very posed and, you know, she's in her bed. She's got the rose next to her. She's, you know, there wasn't any vomit like the other guys that were sprawled out on the floor. They, I don't know if you noticed, but they all have, like, they all blew chunks.
Yeah.
This is so creepy. All of the dudes in this movie are fucking creepsters.
Well, you know, the two people, okay, if you talk about the, you know, Delia, of course, is you have, you like her, but it's Stephen Ray and his partner, and of course, V himself. They're the only male characters with any fortitude.
Yeah.
Here you go.
This is the doctor's journal.
Yeah, and we're talking about viruses here. Oh, goodness gracious.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She knows something's up.
And they're all dying. God, that's a horrible... Look at that shot. Ugh.
Yeah.
Okay, one is dead.
Yep.
Two is dead.
Two is dead.
Three is dead.
I think we know where this is probably going.
Four is dead, but not B.
Five.
November the 5th. So they did experimentation to survive the plague and give him strength and that sort of thing. So that's why he has the strength and the agility. And here you got your toast again. It's a theme.
Over here making me hungry for some egg in a hole.
Yeah. Okay, so there's a virus that infected the country.
Mm-hmm. Possibly the world.
Yeah. Okay, and here we have something really important here, kids. So he just put a squelcher so no one else can hear them.
Uh-oh, somebody's catching on.
There are no coincidences.
Just the illusion of coincidences.
Yeah.
Oh, man, we got those numbers beat.
Yeah. Of course, you're in a totalitarian government here. And
yeah.
You start to see okay, and this is what I'm saying about Benny Hill.
Oh my God.
And this is all Betty Hill with the scantily clad women and the whole shot. This guy was a boss. Like you were wrong with and of course they're using the music Yakety Sax, which and the speeded up whole thing. It's all Benny Hill.
Absolutely.
Just
oh my God.
So the idea here is humor always, you know, diffuses the situation unless you're in a situation like this and you'll see what happens and it's not good.
Thank you. Is everything a joke to you? Only the things that matter.
I just don't feel like it's
going to be fun.
No, neither do I. And here she is hiding under the bed again.
I was going to say, didn't she learn her lesson the first time?
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, damn. Nice house.
Yeah.
Yeah, she landed that all wrong.
Oh, shit.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh, he's in trouble.
You have one chance and only one chance to save.
Is she going to spill or what?
Oh, this is tough.
Oh, yeah.
I know you're red hair. You would not like to have your hair like that, I don't think, anyway.
No.
I'm not saying.
No, I definitely couldn't pull off the egg dome look either, so we're just going to stay as far away from that one as possible.
Yeah.
Delousing.
Oh, God.
Ooh, yummy. Even the rats won't eat it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she's in solitary confinement of some sort.
Yeah.
But she's not even getting, like, it seems like she's not even getting the hour outside a day, you know?
No. Nope. Now, here is another reason this is an LGBTQ film, is what we learn here. This is for all of us, for whatever reason, if we have been targeted and ostracized by society, this is important. And I remember seeing this in the theater, and at the end of this segment, I had tears in my eyes. Then rain is very important here. What does the rain do? Rain washes away the sediment. and clears the air.
Oh, dear.
God. For everyone that has come out in front of their parents and they have rejected them, my heart goes out to you. Seriously.
Oh. So yeah, this is a pretty tough part of the movie to watch.
Oh yeah, and I tell you what, you give your all to Natalie Portman because everything about this, what she goes through, and she really sells it. And she actually did have her hair cut for this. That was one of the last scenes
yeah.
that they shot.
Oh, they're so beautiful.
Oh.
Yeah. And I like how they do the differences in time, like it's, you know, different
yeah.
lighting.
Dangerous.
Different,
yeah, different
dangerous.
Is dangerous now
yeah.
in this country, and that's a goddamn shame.
But for 3 years, I had roses and apologized to no one.
Yeah. It is small and fragile, and it's the only thing in the world worth having.
No,
I do not know you. No, I have never met you. Up with you, cry. Ah.
Yeah.
I love you.
Oh, that doesn't get you a little weepy.
Yeah, I was, when I first saw this, I literally had tears in my eyes.
Oh, yeah.
I'm instructed to consult the individual and unless you are ready to talk with information. Are you ready to go up there?
Nope.
No.
Very well. As you want to tell back to our staff, arrange a big head of 6 minutes and figure out the
there you go.
Yep.
He don't die. Notice he's wearing gloves. He's like, wait, what? what the fuck is going on here?
What are the greatest mind fucks in cinema is happening right now? So in watching this again and again, they push it a little bit. I'll tell you more when we get to the point here.
Yeah. It's Bob. You've always got to name the male mannequin Bob.
Mm-hmm.
Like, wait, where the fuck? This looks strangely like a castle I've been to before. Oh, you fucker!
I'm sorry, Dietrich. I thought they'd arrest you, but you shot my gun. Fortunately, I got to you before they.
Oh, this is.
I mean, he's just so matter-of-fact about it. She's like,
yeah.
You fucking tortured me. Why did you fucking torture me, dude? You don't do that to people. And he's like, well, you said you wanted to live without fear, so... Booyah.
You're evil.
No.
Damn.
Don't run from it. You've been running all the time.
I mean, it's like, how exactly did he expect that she was going to react? You know, she was going to come out of that, and he was going to be like, ha-ha, got you. And she's going to be like, oh, got me, you did, buddy.
Either. And this shows why he's doing it. Because he was tortured in much the same way, and he thought that would be good for her.
Well, yeah.
You were still...
Yeah, and you get why he did it, obviously, because he needs her to be his Girl Friday right now.
Well, more than that, he needs her to be her for herself, not for him.
Yeah.
As I said, rain. Rain is very important here. There's a lot of symbolic sense in how they present this film.
Oh, absolutely.
And let's not forget who's behind this. The Wachowskis. Matrix, everything that they've done.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, they're both part of the LGBTQ community also. So this whole thing about coming out and being yourself and not being afraid. That's very important. This is one of the most beautiful shots in the film.
Oh, yeah.
With him silhouetted in the background. And this is beautiful. This has one of the best lines in the whole movie coming up. And this was the movie that introduced me to Cat Power, by the way, which is the song you're listening to now.
Yes. Great one. But for the most part, the soundtrack has in the movie has been, like, subdued. Like, you don't really hear a lot of background music.
No.
So when they do use the music, they use it very intentionally.
This is beautiful. His altar to her, that she was a real person.
This is where you're starting to get it.
Okay. He is an anti-hero. He's not a hero.
Well, that did not go as expected.
No, this is not a romantic relationship. This
exactly.
is beautiful.
And it's strange because even though the mask is smiling, it's
no, right
almost
there.
Like it's, yeah, it's almost like it's, you know, expressive on its own, the way he just
yeah. Well, that's the whole point. It's all about his stature, his posture, his movement, and how his voice gives you the emotion. It's an incredible portrayal. It truly is.
Absolutely.
Do you have any evidence to support this conclusion, Mr. Finch?
No, sir. Just a few. If I am short of anything, Inspector Finch, don't want to modify the subject. Uh-oh. Why do the bad guys always have to make the heinously wrong decision?
Yeah, but they do.
On every radio scene, on every television, this message must resound throughout the entire country.
So they're not getting any rain.
No.
They've got airborne diseases.
Authorities have uncovered new evidence linking the terrorist organization called V to this marriage violence.
And now they're trying to blame V for it.
Right.
Of course, because, like, you know, since he's out there, let's just throw him all the way under the bus. Oh, see.
culture. They're finally figuring it out.
Okay. Keep in mind, we said that B was way ahead of everyone. Just letting everyone know. Mm-hmm. Just a little hint here.
Yeah, no spoilers here, but he's ahead of it all. So they're in a victim
memorial.
Of the virus exhibit.
Right.
Yeah, Memorial Garden.
It's a story.
Story begins as the story starts. He's deeply religious.
Very Hitler-esque right there.
More aggressive spot to become.
Remind you of anyone? Don't say names.
Jeez, I don't know. I was about to say, I would never. Oh no.
Yeah.
Oh dear. Yep.
So the government did this to the country.
Mm-hmm. This is also, I think, the only time in the movie he actually doesn't wear his mask.
But he does have a mask. Remember, he has no face at all. So that is a mask. And if you look at it, it looks like a mask.
Well, it's got like saggy, wrinkly eye sockets and stuff, so I didn't know.
Yeah. You, Inspector, I was waiting for you.
Pretty orchids.
No one wants to know.
Right. Uh-oh. He's just so subtle.
Yeah. But really not, you know, I mean, what he's doing is having them turn on themselves, which is exactly what you want to do.
Oh, yeah. TikTok.
She's watching that again.
Yeah.
Another thing about this movie I love is how a relationship, the relationship between B and Evie, and keep that in mind, their names, how they change each other.
Yeah. They really do. But V kind of changes everybody in this movie.
Yeah. I'm 20 years in, there's the mask.
Yeah. It's that little girl.
Yeah.
Finish it.
Every day that brings us closer to one. Every day that remains is one. 357 days, gentlemen.
Oh, you're almost to November.
Yep.
And the dominoes. Fucking love the dominoes.
So symbolic.
So what
man.
Happened? Oh, and this whole thing with all the math. The one thing that the graphic novel does show that this movie doesn't, and you think about it, how does V have all this money to do all this?
Yeah. Eight box trucks full of masks.
Okay. Anarchy in the UK, motherfuckers. This is the
exactly.
speech. We're coming up on a speech.
Oh.
Ourselves.
Yeah. Creepy, creepy.
That's strange.
Oh.
I still have this feeling.
This speech is beautiful. And the way that it's presented.
Yeah. Yep. Just pawn.
All trapped by it. The editing in this is beautiful too.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And there's our girl.
Yep. I don't think they care, buddy.
What if we were listening? Something is supposed to do.
Bring out the police.
Yep. This is also beautiful.
Oh, man. The editing on this is just superb.
Yes, absolutely. Again!
And look at Stephen Ray. Look at his eyes. Look at everything.
He is, like, wrecked, dude. Absolutely fucking wrecked, okay?
Yeah.
Oh, and that's gorgeous. Up. But that jukebox has some great selections in it.
Yeah.
Oh, man. This one is just so hard to comment on sometimes because they do a lot themselves.
Just by the way he's reacting, you see the sadness.
Yeah.
This is beautiful. Will you dance with me? Revolution not worth having. I've used that line too.
Well, they know what that means. Oh, okay.
Yep.
I'm just listening to him rant on.
Yes.
Yes, I know.
I am no more that face than I am the muscles. Like a fucking Mandalorian over here.
Yeah. We want guns. Stay out to people with guns.
Yep, buddy. It's all gone to shit.
Mm.
10 years.
Oh, he's been working on this for a fucking while.
Absolutely.
This is that slow burn revenge.
No more lies.
Yeah.
And that's important. We are not talking to this, and we may not be the best people in the world to do commentary, but you know what? We're doing commentaries on movies we love, and so that's why we do this. And we allow you to see the important scenes.
Yes, she went in for the mask kiss.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh. God, he just, I get the collie, what did he call him, the collie wobbles?
Mm-hmm.
And this is where it's about to start getting real fun.
Yeah.
I've kept my side of the bargain, but kept
Uh-oh.
Notice nobody's listening to him anymore. That's important.
Uh-huh.
...will be consistent and lead with our enemy and prosecuted as a terrorist without leniency or exception.
I want to see his face tonight. I give you my most solemn vow
that
justice swift. It will be righteous.
So who did he want? Oh, dear. He's in the biggest trouble of all. Uh-oh. I think he's dead.
And as I said, Creedy is the scariest one because he thinks he's going to take.
Oh, yeah. He thinks he's going to, like, double-cross and overtake, and... Hey, do you know what day it is, Carl?
It's
fuck around and find out day.
Oh, okay.
Fuck around and find out day. There you go.
This is great. Fancy karate gimmicks.
Oh,
try me.
Oh, shit. My turn. Okay, so the violence is very violent, but you don't see you see splashes of blood. It's not gore.
Yeah. I appreciate that about it.
Yes. Yeah. By the way, we're about ready to go into overtime, folks. Just so you know.
Yep. Oh, man.
Ron. Flesh. An idea. Remember we said that at the beginning.
Just like he promised.
And of course, it shows here that he had a bulletproof vest, but he's still hurt and dying.
He had his armor. Remember that suit of armor he was practicing with?
Right.
That's what he was wearing.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, even if you are wearing a bulletproof vest, getting hit with a round is painful.
Won't have this thing getting any more bullets than it already is.
I mean, he knew that was going to happen. Come on now.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's dead.
Yep. Oh dear. They're getting crazy. What is this?
Love the roses.
Yep. Domino.
Ah.
Nope. Not gonna do it.
Yeah.
party leader, Creedy. Well, bye, gentlemen.
Bye, gentlemen.
About everything.
And the way it ends, as you'll see this, is wonderful.
Oh, absolutely.
Remember at the point when I first saw this, at this point in the movie, I was just going, yes! Yes!
Oh, my God, yes. I mean, they just come surging through, and it's like, oh, this is the shit. This is where it's at.
Great overhead shot, too.
He finally gets it.
Yes. I love this, too.
Oh, yeah.
Because this harkens right back to the beginning.
My God, is that not beautiful?
There's music.
Oh.
Absolutely. And look at who unmasked here. Very important. The people who died are unmasking too. They're all there.
Oh, yeah.
So, if you're going
beautiful.
To end the movie with a song, this is the most perfect song to end it with. And I'm not a huge Rolling Stones fan. But listen to the lyrics.
Okay, yeah.
God.
Yeah, that is just such an excellent movie and such an excellent commentary on a lot of things, honestly.
Yeah. Just an incredible film. Seriously. Okay, so any final thoughts, my dear?
Well, I mean, I'm always happy to watch that one. It's a great movie. I've seen it 100 billion times over the years. So, I mean,
it's a beautiful film. But more so, I think it really, you know, you mentioned that it was prescient even today, and it hadn't aged. And I think that the themes of the film are incredibly important. to all of us.
Yeah.
You know.
And especially
it
those
really
of us that are considered, you know, other, as it were. Those of us that are, you know, neurodivergent. I mean, we're the first kind of people that get picked off when things like this start to happen. So, you know, we're a little more attuned to these things, and I think that's why a lot of, like, you know, my friends and family members, when they see this movie, they are genuinely frightened, because it's so easy to see how quickly the world can just seamlessly slip into that mindset.
Right. And also, you know, for me, it's so important what they're saying about ideas and that, and not being afraid. Because fear is what guides us right now as a country, fear of the other and so on and so forth. Why be afraid? Seriously.
Well, like,
why
exactly.
are you afraid of the
why
other?
Be a... And
what? Oh,
I have no idea.
You know, but it's a sense
Hello?
Of power. If you make someone afraid of something, they're going to listen to you and believe you. You know, and we talk about all this in terms of politics, but you could also talk about it in terms of religion, in terms of you know, societal things. You know, we're doing this for Pride Month. Look at, like, how the LGBT community fought back against all the injustices, you know, back in the 60s with Stonehenge and all that. It's very, very important that we do not have fear and we stand up and say, we don't care what you can do for us. This is right. And we have to choose what is right from our own sense of justice and our own sense of morality. And so it's important to have a morality that includes everyone. Seriously.
Yeah.
I mean, I studied this in philosophy, and I studied Schopenhauer and how he made the argument that, you know, it's not pity, you know, of somebody else's position that should guide you, but it's a sense that you could be there too, and that if you are in a better position, you need to show kindness. And so my big
right.
thing in all of this, it's to show kindness, and that's the way that I stand up, and I hope that other people stand up and either in that way or in a way that's justifiable and good for society, and that's what we need to do right now. So there's my little soapbox. Sorry about that.
No, you're all right. I, you know, you summed it up pretty well there. Like, I agree. Wholeheartedly.
No. But such a great movie. It's something I watch at least once or twice a year, you know, and it's a movie that really had an impact on me and moved me, even though I, you know, this is 2004, I think. So, you know, I'm well into my 40s at that point, you know, you know, so it wasn't something that I saw when I was very young and shaky, but it was something that codified a lot of what I thought and how I felt. So yeah, this is an important film. I'm glad that everyone joined us today, you know, for the watch and that. So anything else you want to say before we get into our housekeeping?
Housekeeping? No, I'm pretty good there, I think.
Okay, so next week, you have to forgive me. I've been a little under the weather, and also I've been trying to codify a bunch of stuff, which still hasn't happened. But I will tell you this. Tomorrow, TC is going to be back, he's going to be with Rock This Town Radio, and it's going to be everything is going to be live. So it's going to be live renditions of songs, you know, and that's what he's going to do. A week from yesterday, Cathode Ray Mission is going to be doing, Adam Perens is going to have a nice group of people. They'll be doing the mini-series, The Pacific. We do have some other things happening. I know that Becky and I are going to be doing another intent episode. I know also tomorrow I will not be with TC. I will be with my former partner. We're going to be doing a commentary watch on Secret Honor in celebration of, the passing of, now I forgot his name, Philip Baker Hall. Sorry, I just had a brain fart there. So we're going to be doing that. We're also on our own show. We're going to do Philip Baker Hall. Also, we're going to be partnering with Stephen Ronquillo and his group with a watch of Cold in July. That will be coming up this week. Also, we're going to be doing a Pride watch of an episode of Hap and Leonard, and Stephen will join us for that. Daniel Kramer still has not gotten back to me, but we do want to do the podcast on the history of LGBTQ. And we'll be doing that. There are some other things in process, but we'll have that all set up. And we'll be doing that soon. And we'll just keep abreast of us on Blog Talk Radio or on the website or on the Facebook page. We'll be doing that momentarily so that you can catch up. So at that point, that's what we have for housekeeping. Any final words before we end up the podcast, my dear?
No, I just want to say again that it was a great watch. It's a great fucking movie. And I hope everybody gets a chance to see this at least once or five times in their life, because I still, like I said, think it's really important.
Agreed. So with that, we're going to say good night. Thank you very, very much for joining us. And have a good day and the rest of your night. All right. Good night, everyone. Good night, Rachel.
Good night.
Don't let the bed bugs bite.